This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It is 9:40, 20 till 10, and a lot of time. First of all, I kind of chuckle when I hear people all excited and breathless about the stock market opening here or up or down, because yesterday, happy days are here again, until around mid-afternoon, then the market finished down again. We always also confuse and conflate sometimes terms that we hear and use them interchangeably when maybe that's not necessarily the case, and we might be mistaken in the way we use them. And specifically, we're talking about trade deficit, whether that's necessarily a negative thing as it relates to tariffs or not. And our guest is Tarek Hassan, professor of economics at Boston University. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Let's talk about trade deficits and trade surpluses and their relations to tariffs, and jump in where you feel comfortable on this big, long question, because a lot of times we think that trade deficit, that's not good, but that's not necessarily the case economically, is it?
Yeah, not at all. So at a basic level, it just means we're getting more stuff from abroad than we're sending abroad. That sounds maybe not so bad, right? So we're getting more things from the world. It's sort of a poorly named concept. Essentially, the way that you figure a trade deficit is actually the exact opposite of an investment surplus. So the only way...
Yeah, go slow here, Doc. Hang on a second. Go slow.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the only way for us to have a trade deficit is to have an investment surplus. And those are actually the same things. So what that means is that the only way for us to get all these extra goods from abroad, that's happening because foreigners are investing a lot more in the U.S. than we are investing abroad.
But now, wait, now, explain that to me, because people hear what you say and they say, no, that's not true. If foreign companies are investing in the United States and manufacturing products abroad and we're bringing them in, so that's not investment. Explain that, if you will, please.
So in the U.S., we are kind of exceptional because we have kind of the most stable currency in the world, the U.S. dollar, and we are kind of the incubator of companies for the entire world. So people come to the U.S. to start their companies, foreigners, like Elon Musk is a great example of this. He was born in South Africa, came to the U.S. to start his company. So then it's only natural that foreigners who started the companies in the U.S. are also buying shares in these companies. So investment is flowing into the U.S. at a very high rate. And because that is happening, we can take that money that we're getting from abroad and buy more goods with it. So these are actually the same things. It makes no sense to say we want a trade deficit and we also want foreigners to invest in the U.S. That's not how it works. So either you have foreigners investing in the U.S., then you have a trade. That means, or you have a trade surplus. You can't have both at the same time.
So when it comes to the argument that people want everything manufactured here and we should import nothing, economically, you would respond to that how?
I mean, so that is a very dangerous thing because, you know, we are a small part of the world economy. We're 15% of the world economy. If we were to wall ourselves off from the rest of the world, we would just get poorer. You just saw this with Brexit. The Brits kind of tried it, and it cost them like 6% of their national income. So that's a very dangerous idea. I think the problem is that we're conflating two things that are not directly connected. One is the trade deficit, and the other is manufacturing. These two things, you know, tariffs are not like a magical way for bringing manufacturing back. The reason manufacturing disappears is largely technological. There's been a lot of technological progress in how to make things, and you just need fewer people for that now. What's happening with all the capital inflows that we're having? So what the trade deficit is doing is it's bringing a lot of foreign money into the U.S. and that's going into all kinds of branches of the economy, and not necessarily manufacturing. So the reason we have low interest rates compared to the rest of the world is because we're importing so much capital, because there's so much investment from abroad in the U.S.
They're
just not investing in manufacturing. They're investing in other things.
I'm sorry. I think I heard the president say yesterday, or his spokesperson, that tariffs have already brought $2 billion into the country, into the Treasury. And look, McKinley started tariffs as a revenue-raising measure, not about production or manufacturing or anything else. He did it because it was, in essence, a glorified sales tax, right?
Yeah, it's a sales tax, but, you know, sort of we teach our undergrads that there's different ways of taxing, and some are more damaging than others. Tariffs are a very damaging way of taxing the consumer, as we're all about to find out. You know, wait a couple of weeks and then go to Walmart and see what happened to prices there. Essentially, everything that you see in Walmart is basically being blanketed. Everything except the food is being blanketed with massive tariffs. So you're going to see prices of these things going up. Now, I'm not sure we want to finance the U.S. government with taxes specifically on goods that are purchased by low-income people. Yeah, that's essentially what's being proposed here. And in fact, you know, the reason, you know, 150 years ago, the federal government was financing itself with tariffs is because it was unable to do anything else. Mm-hmm. As soon as it learned to do income taxation, it did income taxation. There's a reason for this, because it's a much fairer way of financing the government.
Leaving politics out of it, compare and contrast, if you will, the state of the world economy when McKinley had tariffs and today's economy. And I only use McKinley as a reference, a historical reference. I'm not making it about.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
Politics or personalities or party or anything else. I'm just talking about the economics of it, the world economy, how it's different from back in that day.
So here's the big difference. So it used to be that the only thing that you would ship would be basically a finished product, more or less, mm-hmm. right? Now, U.S. manufacturing relies very strongly on imported inputs. So if you wanted to really bring back manufacturing, you wouldn't tax the import of things that you need to make things. So 2/3 of our imports are you know, things that we need to build U.S. manufactured goods. So so 2/3 of what we import is needed to make other things. So what you're doing by putting these tariffs up is you're damaging U.S. manufacturing, far from helping it. And that's why you see the stock prices of all these manufacturing firms going down. I mean, this is really done in like the dumbest possible way. This is politics aside.
No, I understand that.
I'm not political.
Yeah. I hear you. It's counterintuitive, and some people are going to hear it politically, and I don't want them to, because we're just trying to establish what's real, what's not here. So you're saying what's manufactured here, 2/3 of the materials used are imported. So if anything...
Two-thirds of imports. So about 10% of GDP is just like stuff that we bring in to like put into cars that we're assembling here, or into washing machines that we're assembling here, or into computer screens that we're assembling here, right? So if you now kind of tell U.S. manufacturers, you have to compete in the world market, but we're tying both arms behind your back by saying you are not allowed to use anything from abroad, well, that's a competitive disadvantage. And we're going to see this in prices of U.S. manufactured goods going up as well.
I like to bring the audience into it. Somebody texted in and said, doesn't make sense. I thought selling your products worldwide was the target. Selling goods equates to income. Am I right? So it's a good thing that America takes in global products at a much higher rate than what America sells. Got it. I guess they're agreeing with you there?
I would say yes, because we're very good as an economy in sort of producing what I would call financial assets. Mm-hmm. So that means for many different reasons, foreigners are very glad to either invest directly in the U.S. by buying stocks or kind of starting companies, or buying debt of U.S. consumers and U.S. companies. So basically what the trade deficit is doing is it's lowering interest rates for all of us.
Let me ask you this. Usually, and I know the car business, having done so many remotes there in radio, usually the best salesman in the place is the finance guy. And I'm just wondering if maybe that's what you're saying, where an equivalency would be. The U.S. makes its money in the currency and in the financing, not in the production of products necessarily. Is that what we're saying?
Exactly. Okay. So, you know, manufacturing is about 12% of the U.S. economy. So most people who have jobs in the U.S. are actually not manufacturing stuff. They're doing other things. Mm-hmm. And we are just better at those other things. One of those other things that we're much better at is like just having a reliable government and a reliable framework where like you don't need to worry that like people are going to you invest money somewhere and then they kind of say, oh, it's not yours anymore. So we provide like safe assets for the world. Yes. And a lot of that is banking. I agree with that. So we're kind of the banker for the world in some sense.
So somebody wants to know, how do we reduce the ties of production to foreign adversaries? How do we become self-reliant? Is that a practical consideration in a world economy that we have today?
So it is practical. I just want to emphasize that it's very costly. So it might not feel like it, but the U.S. economy has actually grown tremendously compared to other countries in the last 20 years. Like, we've pulled way ahead of Europe. We're the richest country in the world by a long stretch. And, part of the reason we are so rich is because we take stuff from all over the world, ideas, inputs, physical things and ideas, and we put them together in different ways. And then we sell it back to the world. That's essentially what I would describe the U.S. economy as doing. Now, if you want to be self-sufficient, you're cutting all of that off, and that's a large chunk of our wealth. So yes, maybe we want to be self-sufficient on a few things that we need for defense. And I think that's fine. Then you need to talk about sort of tariffs on very specific things, like, maybe semiconductors or, tariffs. I mean, you're not allowed to export like bombs to whoever you want anyway. So we're doing like that's been the practice for a long time.
Professor, let me get this in real quick before we run out of time. And that is, can I infer from what you're saying that with the tariffs and if we have to pay higher labor costs in the United States to produce stuff, that in essence, this could lead to manufacturers that are currently producing stuff in the United States to take their business offshore?
Or just shutting down. I think that's the bigger thing. Like, so car manufacturers in Detroit, the Detroit area, have already laid off people for the very simple reason that the reason these plants are competitive is because they get some of their inputs from Canada. And now these inputs have become more expensive and they're just not making the cars. And that means that the cars that are getting made are going to get more expensive and people are going to buy fewer cars. The economy is not a zero sum game, right? So a lot of this discussion is like, oh, are we going to make the car here or are we going to make it in Mexico? Well, what we're going to end up with is we're just going to make fewer cars in the world, period. And that's just another way of saying we're getting poorer. So people have done the math. Like, essentially, the impact of all these tariffs on the U.S. economy will be making all of us 4% poorer. So, and you're going to see that in inflation going up. So we're going to get inflation of price. Prices are going to go up and wages not.
Professor, I appreciate your time. I hope we talk to you again in a couple of weeks when some of this starts to hit, all right?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Tarek Hassan, professor of economics at Boston University, 9:54, 6 till 10. Quick break, then we'll find out what Newell Norman's got planned for us today here on WWL.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.